Today's reading is from Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, here we are, the passage from Titus 3, 1 to 8. It's a challenging little passage, isn't it, hey? Titus doesn't pull any punches. You know, we're all kind of up the spout when we're going nowhere. And we really are just selfish and we want to fight and carry on. And we naturally have this disposition not to be caring and loving and generous to each other. And then there is Jesus. Hope. There was a guy I knew, and we were chatting about Christmas gifts for our wives, and he noted he'd just bought his wife a diamond ring, which I thought was very, very impressive. I was super impressed, except his wife had been talking to me about how she thought she was going to be bought a car for Christmas. Diamond ring, car. Both are very good presents, I suppose. And I was saying to him, you know, your wife actually has been telling me that you're buying her a car for Christmas. And he looked at me, he goes, a car? He said, Nick, I can afford a fake diamond ring, but can you tell me where I can get a fake car from? Oh my goodness, I was laughing. Yeah, maybe he'd talked up his wealth just a bit too much to his wife, and maybe she didn't understand it all. I don't know. I wasn't there on Christmas Day to see the look on her face. Yeah. But she had different hopes to what he was offering. And I think sometimes in life that's the story of our lives. We have different hopes to what we're being offered by different people at different times and places. But today is the Sunday of Hope. And what do you hope for this Christmas? Are you after peaceful and safe shopping experiences with not many people around? Maybe less traffic, good weather Christmas Day so that you can, you know, get out and enjoy it. Not too many commitments, reasonable gifts, and especially from Secret Santa and your spouse, maybe. Yeah, you get what you're actually after. Maybe a better world with more peace and less death and destruction. Because when we look around the world at the moment, there's plenty of war going on and turmoil. Maybe healing of a health issue or a relationship. I have family and friends who've been very unwell over the past 12 months. Maybe this is the Sunday where you hope that you're being valued. See, today's passage reminds us of a gift of hope that landed in our world 2,000 odd years ago and is still the gift that keeps on giving today. It's the best gift that we could ever, ever hope for. And in this season is above all others because it is the most valued gift of all. It's the gift full of mercy, love, hope, peace and joy and forgiveness. And it's a gift that is for all, and it's a gift that helps us discover our true purpose and meaning. It is a gift of truth, though. It's a gift of truth into our lives. And you'd probably be a bit worried about hearing about this now, hey? The best gift is Jesus' birth, the coming of the Messiah, the entry of God into the world. And it was a gift which continued to give as he healed the sick, fed the hungry, and forgave the sins of those far from God. And eventually, he came and died on a cross for each one of us. Gifts. So as we prepare for Christmas and prepare for gifts, I'm going to tell you about the three different types of gifts you can have this Christmas. Because I don't want you to be shallow, so you'll probably realise that there are There really are three types of gifts. The first type of gift is a gift for a gift's sake. We get a gift from somebody, and so we kind of figure out how much that gift is worth, and we go out and we buy a gift of about the same price, and we give a gift for a gift's sake. So, you know, someone might give you a box of Cadbury chocolates, and you give them a box of Lindt chocolates. It's a gift for a gift's sake, so we gift. But the person who gives this gift, they keep a score. So if they buy you the $25 box of chocolate and you give them the $10 packet back, I got them something nice, but they might not have got me something as nice as I got them. And there's a score keeping, a reckoning of this gift. The second gift is a gift for a favour. So the person gives you a gift and expects you to do something nice for them. You'd never have seen this type of gift, I suspect. But I suspect we've probably all been given this type of gift before. We've been given gifts which we didn't really expect to get back, or just didn't expect to have some kind of little favour or help down the road somewhere. No, we would never have given that. You know, if I'm good to this person, if I give them gifts, then they will always be available for me. I've found occasionally in ministry, some people have given me gifts because they want me to always be available for their future needs, be that weddings, baptisms, or funerals. The third is the grace gift, and it's a gift that's actually unrepayable. It's an interesting gift. It's a gift given by another person because they can and because they love to see the joy on your face from it. This gift comes from, and it's actually a beautiful thing, I think, because this is a gift that sometimes the parents give or lovers give to each other. The value in it is not based on the dollar value, always. It's based on the genuineness of the giver's love for giving that gift. And this gift comes from God's gift-giving through his Son, Jesus Christ, who loves us so much that he gave us eternal life and grace in the midst of it all. See, God gives us what we don't deserve. And when you think about it, as parents, the way our children can behave sometimes, there are gifts that they just don't deserve, but we still give it to them because we love them. Mercy could be defined as this: God doesn't give us what we deserve, as we are saved by grace and not by works. And that's mercy, because he doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what he wants to give us because he loves us. And yet we seem to judge based on works and on value. You become a Christian not because of what you do, but because of what was done for you, for free, for you, in love by Christ. Not for anything you've been able to do. And this is why the gospel is such good news, because if we had to depend upon our works, none of us could make it, and none of us could ever be sure if we'd done enough good works to be saved. Because there must be a good works meter that kind of tick, 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 and all of a sudden you hear ding! You've done enough good works. But then if you do some bad works, there's a go, bzzz, and then we have to do more good works. Ding, ding, tick, 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 ding, and we're back. Oh my goodness. Imagine running your life like that. Actually, that's the Old Testament method of how sin was forgiven. You do some good, you get forgiven. And you go and do the sacrifices. Then you do some sin and you come back. And then you go up and back and up and back. There is never anything that we could ever do to earn it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be grace. That's why it's God's gift of grace. God's grace was the most expensive thing that has ever been paid for, and it was paid for by Jesus' own life. It was free for us, but it was the utmost expense to God. But it's what he was prepared to do to let all restore their relationship with him. Well, there are three things we know about this gift of grace that God has given. First, it's a gift of kindness and love. There are no strings attached to God's gift. God didn't give it to us that we would obey his commands perfectly. God didn't give this gift because we loved him. God gave this gift because he loved us, and that was it. So in spite of our selfishness, rebellion, and sin, he still loves us. And that's what this Titus passage also says. And God gave his best. Our scripture puts it this way today. He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we become heirs of the hope of eternal life. Boom! So it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? God gave his best. He didn't say, oh, well, you know, kind of, I give you like an 80% salvation, you do the rest. No. And then God gives according to our need. That's the third thing. Paul describes our condition before this greatest gift that was ever received in Titus 3:3 by saying, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, and we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. I know that you'll go, oh, I don't hate people. Oh, no, but there are some people who you may have found really, really difficult, and people you may never have met that you go, oh, I'm disgusted by their behaviour. Well, that's the hating and being hated. Some people don't like you for who you are. And you might go, but I'm a nice person. They've never met me. Uh-huh. But for some reason, some people might just hate you, or you might hate them for no good reason. But I love the next part, though, in this passage. God came from heaven to a manger. A food trough, in other words. In some lesser-known Hebrew village. And from a manger to a cross, giving us a taste of heaven on earth. And from a cross to resurrection, so that we might have forgiveness today and have a hope of eternal life for tomorrow. See, hope is in the gift. We do not always know what is in the parcel under the tree, brothers and sisters. Oh, no, no, no. And as a child, we hope that it's what we ask for. Or as my friend's wife hoped. She was hoping for a ribbon on a big thing out the front of the house, not a little box under the tree. And, you know, as kids, we used to drop hints and we wrote a list and put it in the letterbox out the front even. And as an adult, we often suspect we know what it is. Sometimes, however, we get a wonderful surprise. Sometimes we get a wonderful surprise. See, the hope is in the gift. I wonder if kids would sit there and look at a beautifully wrapped gift but not touch it in case it disappoints. I'm not going to open that in case it's not what I'm after. We used to trick our kids. We used to wrap up their gifts in all manner of shapes and forms, and they'd go, you know, you'd have a football, and we'd make sure it didn't look like a football. You know, it'd look like a pool noodle with a banana on it or something. We used to have a lot of fun. Imagine Christmas morning, you know, when they come out, they're looking at the shapes of their presents and they got disappointed. Maybe that's why they had Boxing Day. So you didn't ruin Christmas. You opened them all on Boxing Day so you could feel let down if you didn't get what you wanted. yeah. And, you know, throwing kids off with the shape of a present's always a bit of fun. And I actually think that the shape of Jesus, I think, throws some of us off, because it's not the package we really expected that can change our lives. You actually have to choose the gift of Jesus. Remember how God doesn't give us the gift of Jesus because we're perfect, wonderful, and we loved him. Rather, it's because he loved us. The hardest thing for some folk is to take the gift and open it. Maybe it's because you've heard rumours or stories about this gift, or followers or people who are Christians who say they've had the gift but their lives really haven't changed. Or they've got the gift but they're still horrible or cranky people. Maybe they've been part of an institution that's acted abhorrently. Oh, who wants that gift? And that's a fair statement to make. However, the gift is never the institution. The gift is never the brokenness of humanity. The gift is Christ, who died for all of that junk, as well as your junk. And maybe you don't feel worthy. The other problem with the gift is it can be so confronting with what it offers you that you honestly don't feel worthy to receive it. But maybe, however, it's there to fulfill your deepest hope. And this is where I love hope. You look at the gift and are confronted as it may just fulfill this every hope your life has ever held, but you struggle to receive it and open it in case it disappoints you, just like the world always does. This gift is countercultural to the world. So what are you hoping for this Christmas? I mean, still a few weeks away. What would be the greatest gift for you to ever hope for? Dare for you to hope for? You know, would you dare to hope for forgiveness? Dare to hope for your shame to be lifted? Your addiction to end? Your anger to cease? Your loneliness to be relieved? Your sickness of mind, heart, soul, body, whatever, to be healed? Would you dare to hope that God could come to those places of your life and break into the innermost places that you fear most of all that anyone would find out about, but God knows it's there, and to come in and to heal? What if your hope is here? waiting as a gift by the Creator who loves you, to put truth back into your life, to put love back into your life, the truth of how God sees you, loved, precious, and with a purpose for this life that you are living, a real hope. This season, may you open the wonderful gift of Christ, and may you find, like many other people, that Jesus is different to the world's view, and other religions' view, and the institution's view, because he is all about you. All about you. And he's the gift that keeps on giving. Amen.